As impeachment heats up, Leavenworth Federal Prison makes plans for a new Trump Tower. AP reports that the fastest animal on earth is no longer the cheetah, but congressional Republicans running from reporters.
Oh, yeah. No.
And the American Jack-O-Lantern Society says your Halloween pumpkin should be orange and hollow inside, just like the president. Welcome to the Wolfpack. I'm Carl Wolfson along with Paul Block and Kim Upham. Dylan Hyde's doing single dad duty tonight. And, of course, our show produced by Patrick Zahn. We come to you from Portland, Oregon, the beautiful Lane Gallery and Steel Door Galleries in the Northwest. Hi, guys.
Hi, Carl. Welcome home. You been any place?
I was in a land that where the trains are magnificent. Italy.
What's better, the trains or the pasta?
They're all good.
How about the gelato?
First of all, before we get into my trip, I want to commend you two and Patrick and Dylan, who's not here tonight, for a really wonderful job. On the last podcast, we were on the train from Venice to Rome and listened to it and loved every second of it. It was very informative because I was keeping an eye on the news, not so much as you guys, because we had 12 days in Florence, Pisa, Venice, and Rome. So we had things to do, including eating gelato. But you guys did a magnificent job, and I'm glad to see that impeachment is heating up here.
We're going to have to change the name of the podcast
to
Impeachment All the Time.
24/7. What do the Italians think of impeachment?
Well, you know, it didn't come up. Here's how it came up. Occasionally, Gary and I would be in lines to get into the galleries. We had our skip the line tours, but there's always a line, even with skip the line. Or we'd be waiting for a cab.
Well, you get in line with the other skip the lines.
That's right. And they have a skip the line.
Sounds
that's
a scam.
Too expensive.
Like, sounds like a scam.
No, it was all good. But occasionally, I'd say occasionally, at about four times, we noticed people in front of us or next to us waiting for a cab had a British accent. So I always went with, "Hey, how are things in the UK?" And they, without exception, on all four times, the people would roll their eyes and I'd say, yeah. And then they would launch into what a fraud Boris Johnson is, how Brexit was sold with a bunch of lies. People really didn't want it. They're in a mess now.
Russia's behind it.
Yes, absolutely. And I'd say, you know, this is exactly Putin's dream. The West is in turmoil. And, you know, then we would commiserate about Trump and we go back and forth who had the worst of it. So that's about as far as our argument, our political discussions
so
went.
So he's actually a uniter, not a divider.
There you go. There
yes,
you go.
That's right. That's right.
Anyway, but, what the heck? We're here in America.
Yeah, that's right. We had a wonderful trip. Thank you. And I feel very lucky that I've had a chance to visit all 50 states and 34 countries. And you always learn a lot. Maybe we'll talk about that in future podcasts. I want to hear more about your experience on The Tonight Show. I know many of your stories, and this podcast is going full steam ahead, hopefully to Trump's impeachment, hopefully to Trump's removal from office at some point. If it's not in this process, then at election time. And Kim, I want to hear more about your activism, but we've got specific issues to deal with right now.
We're dealing with an existential threat to the United States of America. And
it's not Melania.
No, it's not.
Poor Melania.
Melania is holding it all together.
Some modicum of sympathy for both Melania and Barron.
Yes. I saw a cartoon when I was in Italy. It said, Melania says, "I want whistle to blow."
Oh. and the cartoon said back, "You got mushroom to blow." Anyway.
Yeah, you didn't get that, Kim?
I might be too young.
No.
Stormy
Daniels described the head of
POTUS's
penis as a mushroom head.
Not a podcast goes by that we don't mention the mighty penis.
She described it as a cartoon donkey penis.
Whoa. How did I miss this?
In any event, I want to talk about impeachment.
I'm glad you did.
Okay? I'm a news junkie. Sometimes it baffles me how I miss certain things.
Now, Trump has been calling kangaroo court. He's right. Been calling this impeachment partisan. By calling this impeachment inquiry illegitimate, has Donald Trump already caused a constitutional crisis? Are we there?
He is a constitutional crisis. First of all, He said in a letter to Speaker Pelosi that this is a constitutionally illegitimate process. Let me just tell you, Article 1, Section 2, Clause 5 of the Constitution, which, by the way, Republicans revere, always say they revere. All Americans should.
They revere it when it's convenient to revere. Convenient.
But most Republicans will actually carry a pocket constitution. And there's nothing wrong with that.
I'm a freak. I do that too.
Nothing wrong with it, but they like to brandish it.
Mine has underlines in it.
Good.
Key passages, highlights.
Well, they always like to pull it out. If they pulled it out at this moment.
They like to pull it out in airports, but go ahead.
Yes, some do.
Is this about the wide stance? I'm totally confused.
Back to the mushroom.
Mushroom.
I'm sorry. I'll back
if
up.
If they pulled it out now, Article 1, Section 2, Clause 5 is clear. The House of Representatives shall have the sole power of impeachment. All this is, by the president and his lawyers, is to stall and buy time.
Absolutely.
They don't want to turn over any more evidence. All they've given is a transcript of a phone call, which is in itself incriminating. They don't want to give out any more information, and they want to stall and stall and stall and hope the public appetite for this will diminish. That's their strategy. If we're not in a constitutional crisis now, we will be if the court orders the administration to comply with the subpoenas, and then they don't. But, you know, with Trump, it's like every day there's another – "quote unquote quasi crisis or crisis."
You also got to wonder if the new Kavanaugh Gorsuch court is there to do Trump's bidding and make sure he doesn't have to turn anything over. I just want to bring that up and pray that I'm being wrong.
Right.
When does the Congress start building a jail within its building?
Right. I mean, I think have they tried to go to court already to enforce subpoenas? And it seems that those are on appeal. So, of course, the strategy is delay, 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 delay. But the important point to make here, I think, is that on its face, this is obstruction of justice and another impeachment article, right?
Absolutely. By the way, I think there is a jail in Congress in the – there's not? Okay.
There's a jail in, in Veterans State I guess it's Lincoln Financial Field now, but in the Philadelphia Eagles, the fans were so rowdy. They have a judge downstairs and a jail and a judge because the Philadelphia fans are so rowdy.
Unbelievable. I mean,
yeah. Well, they should do it with this administration. It should be the arrest – instead of the West Wing, it should be the arrest wing right now.
Well, they've got Sergeant of Arms and the Capitol Police and
I do believe we have cases in court right now.
Yes.
I do believe that Congress has gone to court to get their subpoenas honored.
I'd like to see a perp walk.
Well, you know, as you guys said last week, and I believe it was Dylan setting all this out, this has to be done in an orderly manner, but we need to get it done fairly quickly because public opinion does wander to the next story.
I'm also very concerned about the fact that some of these hearings are held behind closed doors because they involve national security interests.
Right.
And it's a lot easier to engage the public and get the public on your side in favor of the impeachment inquiry if we have got things that are actually broadcast on TV.
Right.
I agree. But I also think it's a strategy, if Trump was capable of making a strategy. I think it's a strategy that he just knocks the crap out of the news every day. I mean, we're right in the middle of fighting over whistleblowers and fighting over the Constitution and Federalist Papers and all that stuff. And bang, all of a sudden he decides, and we'll talk about this later, he decides that he's going to pull the American troops out of Syria, out of Kurdistan. And I swear he does this stuff just to change the subject.
Well, that's one of his reasons. We'll get to the Kurd situation soon. He also has property in Istanbul, so he's not going to offend one of his favorite dictators, Erdogan. But I like the idea that you guys said last week. Keep this simple. Trump pressured the Ukrainian president, Zelensky, to investigate former Vice President Joe Biden. I think Dylan said it last week that the president of the United States is using taxpayer dollars to conduct foreign policy for us, the United States of America and its citizens. He is using his office to dig dirt on his political opponents. Keep it simple, keep it narrow. But Paul, you were just saying before you showed me a Fox poll that at least since Nancy Pelosi came out and made her statement, public support, at least in these polls, for impeachment has gone up.
This is the latest poll out. I just got it about 2 hours ago, and it's a Fox News poll. Fox News poll. They want 51%. 51% favor Trump being impeached and removed from office. Only 4% want him impeached but not removed yet. Mm-hmm. And 40% want him not impeached. So we're looking at 55-40. And in July, it was 47 pro, 45 con.
2% want more information on what kind of mushroom it is, by the way. There's always some category that they don't report.
But the movement in this country right now of those people who are wanting to get into impeachment is significant.
You know, 538, which is which I like to look at because
Nate Silver.
By the way, Nate Silver was a regular guest on my show till he got really big. And I don't blame him because he was very busy and so forth. But we had Nate on about four times. The support for the inquiry has gone up 10 points since Nancy Pelosi came out and made that statement we all wanted her to make, that they're investigating. The new Quinnipiac poll has 53% of Americans supporting at least an inquiry on impeachment. And the 538 poll, this is interesting – wanting actual impeachment of the president, 13.8% of Republicans. So that number's going up. It used to be, you know, I believe I saw that number down at like 7 or 8%. It's up at 13 point, almost 14% now.
28% of Republicans are into an inquiry going forward. That's Republicans. And independents are also going through the roof.
Carl, Vanity Fair had a great article about this this week by Gabriel Sherman, who said that Romney, speaking out, is the one guy who could bring along Susan Collins, Cory Gardner, and Ben Sasse, and that as a result, he's the pressure point in the impeachment process, and that's why the things that he's saying are freaking Republicans
Let me just add this right now, because Susan Collins came out and said that the idea that Trump pressured China to investigate the Bidens is troubling. All these words they use, talk is cheap. Okay.
Very.
I'm really tired of Susan Collins and Ben Sasse and even Mitt Romney saying, well, it's troubling. And, you know,
how about Joni Ernst? She is, and she's not a Dodge drafter.
Right.
Draft dodger.
She was in the
military. She served.
Right. But, you know, Joni Ernst is in a tough reelection campaign. So is Cory Gardner. So is Susan Collins. But I'm really sick of these people who are saying, well, you know, this, that, mealy mouth, equivocating. This is pretty obvious stuff. And you're right. We need the dam to break somehow with someone like Romney or some significant member of the House or Senate on the Republican side to say enough is enough. What did we hear it from? Former Republicans, former State Department officials, you know, people who are now out of office. Let's see some courage by people in office. That's what I want to hear.
So Trump just is hiring. I don't know. As of right now, he may have already hired Trey Gowdy to be his impeachment attorney.
The man who wanted every document from the White House when they were investigating Benghazi, and he was the head of that committee. And now he's going to advise Trump on not to give information to Congress.
And I'm so glad to see him back on TV because I really, really enjoy seeing a pinhead with a stupid haircut on television. And so I'm glad to see him back. I mean, if they hired some legitimate, good-looking guy,
you're a producer.
Upset.
That's right.
I'd be upset.
He's got mushroom hair.
By the way, I want to bring up one thing. People, you know, I've never been a student of the Federalist Papers, but I started reading Federalist Papers last week. And one of the main contributors was James Madison. He and I think Jefferson wrote most of them. I think John Jay wrote a few. James Madison said in the Federalist Papers that the impeachment laws were created mainly to ensure that a government official cannot collude with foreign powers to influence the American government.
Right.
It's one of the top things they were worried about.
It's right there.
And, you know, that's a great segue I want to mention because all this talk of impeachment just the other day, I think yesterday, maybe 2 days ago, after 3 years of investigation, the Republican-led Senate Intelligence Committee just released their final report. What did it conclude? In 2016, Russia directed
not Ukraine.
Russia, right, exactly. That's where I'm going. Directed a disinformation campaign to hurt Hillary Clinton and help elect Donald Trump. What is Trump's whole thing? First of all, he denies that the Russians involved themselves to his benefit, which is ridiculous. But further now, he said, oh, it was Ukraine and Joe Biden who influenced the 2016 election for Hillary. This fiction that he's made up and sending out to his 65 million people on his his Twitter account.
And he's obsessed with the fact that somehow he thinks her server is in Ukraine today.
In the possession of a Ukrainian company called CrowdStrike. CrowdStrike is not a Ukrainian company. I think it's actually
it's
run
a US
from
company.
U.S. with a director in Russia.
You know, if Alex Jones can have, 2 million listeners with his InfoWars, that just tells you where we're at in this country, that enough people in the millions can get their brains soaked with conspiracy theories. And forget Alex Jones. It's Fox doing a lot of this, too. They've done it for 20 years. So
except Fox is priming
the pump.
Off. There's a crack happening in Fox.
Well, there is. There's a rupture between Shep Smith and
Hannity.
Hannity, and of course,
Paul Ryan's now on the board.
Well, you know, I've always said that Shep Smith and Chris Wallace are the only two legitimate people at Fox as far as both news and honest commentary is concerned. Paul, I don't know how much of that is Fox really trying to look. Some more fair and balanced, or I get the sense that Shep really dislikes Trump.
I agree.
And that Tucker Carlson will defend him to the end, and so will Sean Hannity. They'll go down with the ship.
Okay, but in the meantime, Tucker Carlson did say that what Trump did is inappropriate, and there's no way to spin that call into something else, though he says that's not impeachable. Mm-hmm. Shep Smith. Man, he doesn't like Trump because I think Shep Smith is a decent man. Now we got Judge Napolitano.
Oh, he always calls it like it is.
You and know, he's right. Turned on Trump with this whole Ukraine crap.
I don't think he's turned on Trump. I think he's constitutionally consistent.
Well, that's turning on Trump.
Right. Well, of course.
If you're going to defend the Constitution,
well,
you're going
to offend
Trump.
Well, I don't think he was ever in Trump's corner when Trump was doing things that were extra constitutional. I think he's just calling it like it is, and good for him.
Chris Wallace is finally starting to make his father proud. Geraldo Rivera. But he was on, and he turned on Trump while he was on the air on Fox.
You know, he also said Hillary's server was in Al Capone's vault.
And it was. By the way, a key person who is somewhere in the middle now, he is not defending Trump. A key person is Matt Drudge. The Drudge Report is having headlines that the Fox poll says Trump should be impeached.
Well, they read the tea leaves. They read the polls. They read the pulse of the people. And it may be that some are now seeing that Trump is going to be not only a drag on the Republican Party, but take down a lot of people in the 2020 election. And who knows where this goes? Because obviously, you know, an interesting interview that I saw after I got home. Barbara Rez, do you know who she is? Yeah. She was a former Trump Organization VP.
She wrote a book.
She wrote a book.
65th or 67th floor or something.
Yeah, she was in charge of the construction arm of Trump. And she said – she acknowledges that he is unqualified to be president. But she told CNN that he's always – been reactive. In other words, if bad news comes, he'll blame, like he's doing now. The whistleblower's a Democrat. The whistleblower's a traitor. It's never him. But she said something was interesting, and I guess I've never really thought about this. The man has always been paranoid, she said, which is the heart of Richard Nixon's neurosis was his paranoia. This is another similarity to the Watergate that he's, you know, Nixon tried to squeeze into that, you know, he was backed into a corner and at some point everyone left him. And I think maybe that's what we're headed with Trump.
Well, he was furious with Sessions for not recusing himself after the Mueller report. And that's – he just won't tolerate any kind of – any perception that somebody's not on his side 100%.
New book out. I forget the name of the man, but a real respectable guy wrote a new book, came out yesterday or today, and where he says the two men in the cabinet who were willing to go for 25th Amendment were Kelly and Jeff Sessions.
Right.
And that Rosenstein indeed wanted to wear a wire in his meetings with Trump. That was not a joke.
Well, speaking
of jokes, though, while we're still here, what do you think about Marco Rubio, that strict conservative who thought Trump was a con man, not worth anything, with tiny hands? He says, well, you know, the president, he's just joking. He's trying to tease or, quote, gig the media. I'd never heard that word before.
And then Trump comes out and says no, contradicts him.
Yeah.
Well, no, for me, Marco Rubio, who represents the state of Florida, the state you could argue is most affected by climate change, he basically says climate change is a hoax. I mean, he doesn't use those words, but he absolutely will not do anything to mitigate the effects of climate change because he claims it'll destroy jobs. For someone from the state of Florida, of all states, to have that position is beyond ridiculous. So I don't take anything that Marco Rubio says. And you're right, Paul. I like the point because, you know, Trump ridiculed all these people. And Trump's one of his fiercest opponents in 2016 in the Republican Party was Lindsey Graham, who will now lavish praise on him. But now Lindsey's upset with him over the Curtis situation. Maybe Lindsey's going to go on his fainting couch soon.
Not casting any aspersions, but Graham's tongue is all over Trump. He just doesn't stop.
You know that it's an open secret that Lindsey Graham is gay, don't you?
I didn't really – I know people talk about it, but you can't tell by me. I swear you can't.
He just – I don't know if he is or not. I just know – you know, I go to the constitutional part of it. Is he upholding the oath of the Constitution? And by anyone who is enabling Trump right now or in any way impeding this impeachment process is a traitor to the Constitution. Can I bring up one other thing?
No.
Okay.
Go ahead. You're back from Italy. You can back do whatever from Italy. You want.
You know, I agree that this impeachment should be narrow. I think it's going to be on the Ukraine situation and obstruction of justice. However, let's remind ourselves, as Peter DeFazio just did, and for those listening beyond the borders of Oregon, Peter DeFazio is our congressman who is the dean of our delegation. He's been in office since January 1987. He's the chair of the House Committee on Transportation. He's also chair of the subcommittee on public buildings, among other things. He has been trying to investigate this Trump hotel in Washington, D.C., whether it's a violation of the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution. And he just put out a statement yesterday, October 8th. He said, since my committee's investigation of the Trump hotel lease began, I've sent multiple requests to the General Services Administration for documents related to the old post office. GSA is still withholding key financial documents and legal records. I am demanding that the GSA provide the key financial documents so I can continue to aggressively investigate and pursue the truth on behalf of the people. If you don't know, Trump leases the federally owned old post office for his hotel. And I'm just going to read you one statement from Peter DeFazio, our congressman. Quote, as both the president of the United States and the owner of a hotel occupying a federal building, Trump is both the lessor and the lessee of the property, which creates a conflict of interest and is in violation of the lease itself. The lease expressly prohibits any elected official of the government of the United States from deriving any benefit from the lease. So he's in violation of the lease. And the Emoluments Clause. He's got all these international people staying at this hotel. He profits off this. This is exactly why the founders put this clause in the Constitution.
Not only staying at his hotel, but it's come out recently that there are entities and countries that are booking entire floors or rooms in the hotel and no one shows up to claim them. So they're just handing money to the Trump family.
The further scandal around that hotel. And you're right. And I just hope somebody has the balls to step up and follow DeFazio's demands and really pursue those demands so that they're fulfilled.
Right.
But the further scandal there is the old FBI building across the street that is too small, outdated, and old, and they have picked a 40-acre lot in the suburbs where they want to build a brand new, gorgeous FBI building that can house everybody and everything. But that means they'd move out of the old FBI building, and the talk has been that it would be replaced by a hotel. And Trump is fighting that. Keep the FBI there. FBI there, because he doesn't want another goddamn hotel next to his hotel to give him competition. I mean, this guy is, it's just like, you know, he's playing this United States Treasury like his own cash register.
Yes. And this is what was brought up to the campaign. And of course, he, in his speeches to his supporters, was like, oh, I recuse myself and let my kids run the business. And they're all involved in all of this too. And it goes back to he's accusing Joe Biden's son of impropriety when his kids are getting all, especially Ivanka, getting patents approved by the Chinese government.
On voting machines. That is very strange. Yes. Trump voting machines. Can you imagine walking into your polling place? We don't do this in Oregon. We vote by mail, which is the best system.
Absolutely.
But where, if you're elsewhere in the country, you're walking into your polling place and there's a Trump-branded
right. voting exactly. machine. Exactly.
Give me
by
a break.
By the way, I hope sometime we'll talk about vote by mail on the show. Yeah. By the way, you mentioned the FBI. One of my early jokes, remember when Janet Reno was nominated and became Attorney General of the United States?
I'm old enough.
Yeah. My line was she's
Kim's
now
not old enough.
She's now
I have a
she
picture of me with Janet Reno.
My line was she's now the highest law enforcement officer to wear a dress since J. Edgar Hoover. Paul and I have been in the business so long that we can regurgitate stories and jokes from any era and make them up applicable today.
And thank you for doing so.
I wanted to do a sketch once where we were in a men's room and we heard Ethel Merman in a stall singing. And as she burst out of the song, it was J. Edgar Hoover in her red dress.
By the way, hitting that strike zone for millennials with Ethel Merman again, you're very good. Right.
Well, I don't know. I'm sorry, millennials. No. Go to Google.
Dylan,
check it out.
When we need him.
Yeah, they should. They should
how
learn
about Lady Gaga? Lady Gaga.
I have to say you guys are part of my self-care routine. It's really helping me to come here every week. And
thank you.
Yeah. I mean, tuning into the news is great. I'm a total news junkie, political junkie. But you got to give yourself a break. And I appreciate that. I appreciate the laughs.
I want to, by the way, of all the newspaper reporters that have asked a million questions that didn't get answered in the last 2 weeks, I don't remember who asked this one, but I think it's the best question that any one of them asked. Why did no one, including Trump or any of his people, ever complain about Biden's son while Biden was on the board of Burisma? Why did they wait until now to make that complaint?
Of course, because he's made a fiction to push back against his crimes. This is always what he does. He projects. If you look at – go back and look at 2016. Oh, it was Hillary who had pay to play. This whole uranium nonsense.
Hillary whose health was bad.
Right, right. Of course. Everything that he said about Hillary was true about himself. And, you know, the best defense is a good offense, I guess. But, you know, I go back to what you said, Paul, about we need someone at the GSA. We need people like the whistleblower. And by the way, while I was in Italy, a second whistleblower, more whistles being blown.
There's actually a third one.
Oh, is there?
At the IRS.
Okay, good.
But that's a different thing.
Well, we need people to – we got to remember that government service – and these are public servants. And one of the worst things that Ronald Reagan ever did was denigrate public service. You know, the worst words you can hear, I'm from the government, I'm here to help. That's nonsense. Public service is an esteemed institution in this country when it's done right. The problem with people like Trump is he sees the federal government as his kingdom to do what he wants, which is get more money, more power, which feeds his ego.
And Senator Ron Johnson, who made a broad declaration, I do not trust the FBI today. I do not trust the CIA today.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's saying what
frigging
Trump. No, he's saying what Trump voters.
I didn't use the F word.
You know, Trump voters. Kim, where do you see this going? I mean, give me your sense. You followed politics a long time. Where do you think this impeachment thing? I think the House is too far in to back down.
The House is definitely too far in to back down. I'm hoping that the Senate will get a backbone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that the pressure will be on Republican senators, that they will see that there's a train leaving the station. I'm hoping that this is true, that they're interested in recruiting Romney and saying that there's money to be had as a challenger to Trump. I mean, I don't think that'll realistically happen, but I think that there's some never Trumpers amassing some momentum on the sidelines, and mm-hmm. Romney's a key in that. And I really hope that that momentum will continue.
I like your point about open hearings, because people love to follow a story. They love to follow testimony. And you know this, Paul. It's good TV.
Yeah, but when you get a schmuck like Lewandowski,
right.
You got to smack him down. In an open right. hearing, he made a fool
That's
of
right.
those people.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, I mentioned that there's a Trump Towers in Istanbul. So he's got financial interests in Turkey, the president of the United States, which might be a good segue to our next question, because this is the other big story of the last 24, 48 hours.
And while you're in Italy, I sent you a note a couple of days ago that I think we should talk about the Kurds. Mm-hmm. In that day or two since I sent you a note, this has exploded. This is... I mean, Republicans are turning against Trump because of his decision to pull our troops out and away from the Kurds.
He did that without any consultation with the Defense Department or the Department of State.
That's, by the way, why General Mattis quit when he quit, because he didn't want to do that when Trump wanted to do that back then.
He said that he wanted our troops out of Syria, and they said, okay, so they started slow walking it because they know that we need to keep some troops in Syria to protect the Kurds. They did pull out 1,000 troops, but there were 1,000 still
here. Here's about the troops. And by the way, if you hadn't been following the news, Trump gave Turkey's dictator, his fellow dictator in his own mind, in Trump's own mind, he loves the dictators. You know, he goes and to all of these G7 summits or whatever, and he walks with the dictators. You know, that's who he likes. He gave Erdogan the green light to murder our allies in Syria. That's what he did. And as you two have noted, the Pentagon advised against it. The State Department advised against it. Democrats and Republicans are horrified that he did it. Here's the thing about the troops. And what is Trump's rationale? He says, I don't want America involved in these endless wars. Well, neither do I, okay? But if that's true, he's not pulling – you're right. There were 2,000 troops in Syria. 1,000 are still there. 1,000 came out. But if it's true that he wants our troops out of Syria, why didn't he pull the other 1,000 out of Syria? All he did was move them – when they were protecting the Kurds to other areas. So he's staying in Syria with 1,000 troops. All he did was hand the Kurds to Erdogan. So even his rationale is incomplete, because the troops are still there. All he did is let Erdogan have a go at the Kurds, which he's already started to doing with the bombing.
Yeah, that started since just before
right.
we started this.
And recording. It gives Russia what Russia wants. Russia wants to be the main proxy player in Syria. So it's a gift to Erdogan, and it's a gift to Putin. What a shocker.
And it's a gift to Iran, and it's a gift to Assad, and it's a gift to ISIS, and it's a gift to Al-Qaeda.
Right.
Right. So for our listeners, I'm sure they know already, but the Kurds were responsible for rounding up ISIS. Mm-hmm. They've currently got 11,000 ISIS prisoners. But at the time, since Turkey is now invading their country, they are going to protect their land. They've made it clear that that's their first priority.
And those 11,000 prisoners?
ISIS,
where are they going to go,
Kim? ISIS will be regrouping. Right. ISIS will be a force again. They managed to single-handedly eliminate the caliphate. But those people can organize again and come back. There's nothing stopping them.
This is the worst of Trump. He is letting our allies be murdered, okay, because he likes a dictator. He likes several dictators. He has financial interests in Istanbul, the kind of stuff we were just talking about. And what did he – if he's the deal maker, here's another point. What did he get from Erdogan? He's no deal maker.
Another tower.
He rolled over.
You know, he didn't get – no. What did he get for the United States? I know he may get
nothing.
Personal nothing. Gain from this, but what did he get from the United States? He got absolutely nothing. And, maybe happening during this impeachment drive, this will anger and push some Republicans a little bit towards our side. I would hope it. But, you know, this is exactly – another example of why his foreign policy always seems to fail. What did he do with Kim Jong-un? He thought, oh, I'll go over there. You know, all he did was give exactly what Kim Jong-un wanted to him. He gave him the world stage. All the evidence is they're continuing with their nuclear program. He hasn't achieved a thing. Yet he goes to the United States, oh, I should get the Nobel Peace Prize. No.
It's going to piss him off when Greta gets it.
And by the way,
upstaged by a 16-year-old.
Just before we went on the air for our podcast, Kim, you said that he's now said Trump's quote is, well, the Kurds, they didn't help us with Normandy. Yeah, oh, World I War guess II. They had bone spurs. You know? Maybe that's why.
Well,
or maybe likely. The Kurds just couldn't give us their air force for the U.S. Revolution.
What's happening with Trump's abandonment of the Kurds is not only without any honor or loyalty, but it's part of his systemic takedown of traditional American yep. national security and alliances in general. Trump has gone after our alliance with South Korea, with Japan, with Europe and NATO. He's gone after our deepest alliances with North America, slamming Canada and Mexico, Central America, South America. He's welcoming Russia, wanting to end sanctions. He's welcoming Kim at the expense of Japan. He's abandoning Hong Kong. He's ignoring the development of relationships with Africa. When he took us out of TPP, he left the Pacific to China, failing to make cyberware and the defense against it a priority. Trump is dismantling our national security system, and he's doing it in public. And where the That's hell right. are the Republicans?
We're the patriots of this country. And, you know, the first number that you ticked off there are on Putin's wish list. You know, I go back to the question most Americans have been asking it for a while. What does Putin have on Trump? I mean,
it can't just be piss tapes.
You know,
because when Helsinki happened, when Americans saw the president of the United States take that dictator's word that he didn't interfere, not only against the word of his own intelligence community, but against common sense, and now against the report of a bipartisan Republican-led committee in the Senate, there has to be a reason other than he wants Putin to like him. There has to be something that Putin has on him.
Or cash.
And let me, Compromise. You know, I said it at the time, this is treasonous. It people is, should be in the streets over this.
It is. The Hong Kong people are in the streets to get rid of the person who's cheating their country out of what they're supposed to have. And who's fighting for us in Hong Kong? The NBA. I mean, the NBA is the only one that's saying you got to start treating those people like people. By the way, let me just say that the Kurds, the Kurdish people, are some of the best people in the Middle East. They're primarily Sunni Muslims. They're some Shias, but there are Kurds who are Jews, Yazidis, Christians. They're very tolerant. They don't hate anybody. They just want to be kept in their own world.
There are Christian Kurds being slaughtered in northern Syria right now. So where are the evangelicals standing up for them?
Right.
They're fighting abortion. They're looking to replace another Supreme Court judge rather than saying, let's save some of those Christians. I wonder, by the way, if Trump or the evangelists or any of those people are going to invite any Kurdish refugees to come
right.
to the United
Great
States.
Point. Great point.
Part of Trump's excuse for taking the troops out of northern Syria is that ISIS was already defeated, but that's not going to last very long.
Yeah, ISIS is defeated so long as the Kurds are holding them.
Well, and the Kurds did it. They sacrificed 12,000 fighters in order to get rid of the caliphate, and this is how we're rewarding them. So we know that no other countries are going to take our word and stand with us and do our work for us.
Can you have this is another example. I mean, we've run out of letters. Exhibit A, B, C. This is exhibit triple Z. That Trump cares about himself, not the country. He is so unfit for the office of this, the highest office in the land, for so many reasons. And let me go back to a point I made because I want to say it again. If it were true that he wants to pull out of Syria, those 1,000 troops would be gone. But all he did was
move
them so that the Kurds aren't protected. But if you try logic with the core Trump supporters, good luck. I mean, I want to make a parallel to this. In 2013, when Obama was in office, and I mentioned Obama had a very good comprehensive immigration plan, all right? 14 Republicans in the Senate voted for it. And it was set the rules of the road for the border, for immigration, and all of that. The reason Boehner didn't bring it up in the House was that, you know, we know that the Freedom Caucus, the Tea Partiers, would have killed Boehner. His excuse was, well, if we pass it, we don't trust President Obama to enforce the laws on immigration. So you know what Obama said? Okay, make the act official on January 20th, 2017 for the next president. So it has nothing to do with the instance. So they still wouldn't do it. So that just proves that they were doing it only to keep the immigration issue alive so they could demagogue it. But see, the problem we're in now is too many people like Trump core supporters, they don't follow logic at all.
I want to bring up one more thing about the Middle East, and that is that the Israelis should be scared shitless right now. Because what Trump is doing is he's allowing a coalition of Russia, Assad, and Turkey,
right.
Iran
to move into a huge power circle in that area. Now, this is going to be a huge danger to Israelis. By the way, where the F is Netanyahu? Why isn't he out there saying, what are you doing? Yeah. Keep those people there.
Where's Jared's great Middle East plan?
Yeah, where's Jared's yarmulke
Let me paraphrase a joke Argus Hamilton used to do. Argus Hamilton, a political comic that both Paul and I know. In the Middle East right now, we have Israeli negotiating under Judaic law. We have the Palestinians negotiating under Islamic law. And we have Jared and the Trumps negotiating under Murphy's law. I think that pretty much sums it up
when
right
we
now.
Get to figure out how to do this podcast with a little more technical expertise. We'll get Argus to come on one of our shows. A very funny guy. He's been running the Comedy Store for 50 years or so.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Well, again, I love this discussion because it you notice how easily we segue to this. It's Trump, his ego, his power, his personal interests above the interests of this nation. He'll trample any norms of government, any laws. By the way, Rex Tillerson, I read an interview with The Independent in the UK while I was gone. Rex Tillerson, the former Secretary of State, said Trump would want to do stuff. And Rex Tillerson would say, that's illegal. And he said Trump would be furious.
Yeah, so and then he got rid of Tillerson and got rid of Sessions.
Right. He'll find a way. He'll find someone to do his bidding.
The only people left are
Barr.
The ones that are the ones that will do his bidding. Yeah.
He wanted Barr. He evidently, according to this new book by New York Times reported, he wanted if migrants threw rocks at border guards, he wanted them shot. And then when they said that's illegal, well, can't you just shoot him in the legs?
That, by the way, when Trump first complained about this, he called it Washington Post reporters. They were New York Times reporters that wrote it. By the way, I had some other thoughts.
Because he's stands up for the truth.
Yeah. Trump wants to build a moat. He said he could like to build a moat with alligators and snakes and shoot migrants in the legs to slow them down. He wants an electric fence and skin-piercing spikes at the top of the fences.
Yeah.
How many snakes do you need for 1,500 miles of border?
Oh, is this – I thought you were talking about around the White House to keep the subpoenas out.
No, that too. But we're talking about the border with Mexico. Well, I had a couple of other
ideas. Devin Nunes off the grass.
You got some other
ideas?
Oh, what are your other ideas?
Well, why don't we make them eat Trump steaks? That should slow them down pretty well. Why don't we make them wait until Stephen Miller grows some hair? Why don't we build parapets so that they can throw boiling oil down on the refugees?
Uh-huh.
Or maybe no one can enter without bringing a free trademark for Ivanka. Or maybe make them write Donald Trump is a sane genius in English or Russian 1,000 times.
If Stephen Miller grows hair, he's not going to look any less ghoulish because he's got those dead eyes.
By the way,
he's a dead man.
Over the weekend.
And I don't use the F word. I want you to know that, Kim. Just because of you.
Oh.
It's because I'm so demure and it would offend my feminine sensibility.
You know, the thing about your list is that
I never say that.
The thing about that list is you could see Trump wanting to do anything on that list. And by the way, over the weekend, Trump announced his new policy. The U.S. will now deny visas to any immigrant who cannot afford to pay his or her own health care. That is outrageous. I mean, this is all their plan. They don't want the brown hordes here. There are Americans who can't pay their own health care. You know, it's just insane. And anyone listening to this, let me just take a break here and say, if you're listening to this podcast, you like what we do here, and I suppose most of our audience, we're preaching to the choir, not only rate us well at your platform, whether it's on iTunes or Google or wherever, or Spotify, send this out. If you're on social media, send this out. If you got people wavering about Trump, if you got relatives who are not sure about things that want to, you know, get the word out is
what
I'm saying.
It's our goal to uplift people and to give them information that they can use at the Thanksgiving dinner to talk with their relatives.
Well, I'm afraid.
If I was more together, I would say, here's the link. But you guys, if you're listening, you have a link.
Right. It's wolfpackpdx.com.
Wolfpackpdx.com.
Speaking of Thanksgiving, 2 months before Thanksgiving, Trump has pardoned the wrong turkey.
No. Can I just – I would like to read something, if I may, from that was on television and put out by S.C. Cupp. S.C. Cupp was a conservative woman. I think she started
she's
on Fox.
She's a Republican. I'm not sure.
But she's on CNN now. And she calls it Trump's DNA. And I just love it. And his DNA is that, number one, when you do something you get caught for, deny it ever happened. That's the D. Once you get caught and have to admit it happened, then comes the N. Normalize it by saying it's okay to do what he did. Everybody does it. And then finally, when it can't be normalized, then you go for the A. You attack. You attack the messenger, the media, Obama, Clinton, the Democrats, the whistleblowers, deep state, anyone you can think of.
That little kid mowing the grass on
the
lawn.
Yeah, it's his fault.
You know, I think most people in
but
the country
does, that
know.
That does apply, that DNA.
Right.
Deny,
I think it's great.
Attack.
And I think most people in the country know who Trump is. Maybe this is a segue to say Democrats, you know, that Trump is a given. And in a way, it's a gift to us because his faults are always on display. Americans are increasingly, I think, as I read it, tired of the nonsense and the assault on our values and norms. But Democrats have to give an alternate vision of the country if they want to win the White House, take the Senate, and hold the House. That's a segue to our third question, Paul.
Well, our third question, and our third question is, if you were asking questions of the Democratic candidates, what question would you ask?
Yeah, they're debating in Ohio on October 15th. And by the way, I believe Tulsi Gabbard and who else is included that wasn't in the last debate? Tom Steyer will be in this debate.
I didn't know Tulsi Gabbard was back in.
I think she is.
So I crowdsourced this question on Facebook among my friends, and I got some interesting answers.
Oh, good.
One of them that I liked was, what's the first thing that you will do to reverse what Trump has destroyed?
I like that.
I can't see the moderators actually asking these questions, but, you know, if we were to cut through all the –
Unfortunately, the moderators, all they give a shit about is gotcha questions. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Another one that I liked quite a bit was, assume you win. Assume that Democrats keep the majority in the House. Assume that Democrats have 51 votes in the Senate. How will you get anything done? And then a follow-up question to that is, given that you can't do it all, what's your list in priority order?
Well, you're assuming that if they win the House and the Senate, they're also going to take the presidency. So that's how they get things done. They vote and he signs.
Well, as we mentioned.
But we can't depend on that.
No.
No, we can't. Obviously.
Getting rid of the filibuster. And I, you know, Bernie is still for the filibuster. And Dylan and I are, and maybe you guys are against it as well. I think it's an outdated relic. We discussed this on a previous podcast.
Well, if we still had the filibuster, we wouldn't have Kavanaugh and Gorsuch.
I think that Bernie wants to try to pass Medicare for All with a budget reconciliation. So his procedural stance is unrealistic in my view.
Right. Yeah.
And we should, once this, all this stuff has cooled down, we should get more into things like Medicare for All.
Well, first of all, on October 15th, they're all going to be asked about impeachment. Now, that's a given because it's the hot topic, right? I would imagine all of them support, I don't know, but I assume all of them support the impeachment inquiry. And you think, well, why do we need to ask that question? We'll have millions of viewers. This is another chance for Democrats to stand up for the Constitution, go on record, and say this has to move forward. Because as we know, the country is divided, and any chance we get to pull that pocket constitution out and saying this is our duty, I like it. I would also – and I understand that the moderators are journalists who tend to – they want to do the gotcha question. But I want to know of each candidate the weaknesses, how they deal with it. You know, we talked about – before I left, we talked about, you know, Hunter Biden. I haven't seen – I've seen zero evidence that he did anything wrong, that Biden did anything wrong. And by the way, Kevin Kelton, who
good man.
Good man. Kevin Kelton.
More Perfect Union podcast.
That's right. And Open Fire.
Open Fire Facebook page, which I'm an administrator of.
Right.
And join us.
When I was in Italy, I was spending a little time on Facebook as a break from pasta and wine. And Kevin said this is a good time for President Obama to come out and say and support Joe Biden and say it was the policy of our administration, not just our administration, but the IMF, the European Union, that we get rid of Shokin, this prosecutor who was corrupt. It had nothing to do with Joe Biden or Hunter Biden. And I think, you know, Obama has stayed disengaged. And I know he wants to remain somewhat neutral or neutral in the nominative process. But I think he should come out and at least say that. But I would ask Joe Biden, you know, did you ever think it was bad for Hunter to do this for appearance sake? Not that he did anything wrong. I would ask Bernie about his age. He just had a heart attack. We wish him well. I would ask him about his age. I would ask Elizabeth Warren, why won't you say the words, I'm going to raise people's taxes, what, you know, on single payer? I know she thinks, and it's probably true, that the cost for everyone would go down. But that's going to be a problem because raising taxes is political suicide. I would ask Pete Buttigieg, are you going to be able to achieve African-American support, a support that you need to win the nomination or the presidency? I would ask Kamala Harris why she thinks she's fallen so precipitously in the polls. So I would ask each of them a question which went that goes to their vulnerability. I think that's a legitimate thing to do with people.
I agree
watching.
With you. I agree with you. Going to their vulnerability is legitimate, but nothing you just asked is a gotcha question.
Right.
They're legitimate questions. Yeah. How do you think, Pete, that you're going to get the African American
right.
community?
It allows them to put a positive spin.
Allows them to do that rather than duck and cover because you're after me. I tend to wonder if any plans or statements or any of that stuff really matters.
Well, we have to stand for something. If not,
I
you know,
agree.
You have to engender hope in the American people. You have to lead, and that's part of the job of the president. One
You've
last thing.
You've got to inspire people to go knock on doors.
Absolutely. And the last thing I'll say, and I have my 10 years on radio, I talked myself blue in the face about Democrats, why they will not put out a 5 or 6 point platform every time they run for national election, just like the contract with America, except with good things that everyone will have a living wage job, that we pledge everyone will have access to affordable health care in the country. Public education will be supported, that we're going to have an anti-corruption platform, that we're going to lead the world in renewable energy jobs for the future and battle global.
We're going to work to save the small farmer.
Right. List these things and pledge to the American people, and no more than 10, probably 7 or 8 max. But if you elect Democrats to the White House, the Senate, and the House, these are the things we will accomplish for you. I want a list, and I would ask the candidates, why won't you do this? Well, all you candidates get together now. Forget the platform that takes all these writers and all these days and months to put together, which no one reads.
Simple
and
message.
Say a simple message to the American people. Will you pledge to do this?
There was a fellow
running. I started hitting the table.
There was a fellow running here in Portland who lost. And I talked to him when he started running. And I said, and I listened to his speech, and it was meandering and wandering. And I said, no, what you got to do is give us Steve's 3 and 3. Give us 3 things you want to do for the city of Portland, and give us 3 things that your opponent's going to do that's going to hurt the city of Portland. And then walk away from all the other crap.
Right. And what did Trump say? I'm going to build the wall and Mexico paid for it. You know, and it was ridiculous, but he had a message, make America great again. It was all nonsense, but he boiled it down to something for some reason the people tapped into. We need to do the same.
It's true. We have got to reach people where they're at on an emotional level.
Since we're talking about the candidates, I just want to throw up one more poll or two. Quinnipiac gives Warren a 3-point lead over Biden in one poll. And the same day, Politico Morning Consult gives Biden a 12-point lead over Warren. So I'm not sure who's surging.
Would that
where.
Be in Iowa or would that be nationally?
National.
There's no question I think Elizabeth Warren is moving up. I just saw polls tonight, and I can't quote the name of the poll that showed Biden beating Trump by
11 points.
And Elizabeth Warren beating him by 8.
And Sanders by 7.
By 7.
And he's getting nervous, and you can tell.
I believe that's also the Politico Morning Consult poll, though I may be off on that one.
I haven't heard a lot of people mention a Biden Warren ticket. I mean, to me, it would be almost unbeatable, where there would be a wink and a nod or an honest pledge that Biden would serve one term and hand it over to Elizabeth Warren. That way, you unite the party in a way that hopefully heals those divides. I hear people who are very pro-Warren say she would never run with Biden because she has antithetical views to him. But, you know, John Kennedy picked Lyndon Johnson.
Yeah. Antithetical? My God.
Right.
The main thing they got to do is bring this country back to being a decent place to live.
Yep. Well, talking about emotion, Kim, if you can't get emotional that we have turned our country over to a narcissist who is destroying our values, our norms, trampling everything that we hold dear. Selling out our military, selling out our press, our judicial system in this country. I don't know how you cannot get an emotive response with that.
Slight correction. I think it's a psychopathic narcissist.
Right.
I was going to read – I'll do it next time we do it. I was going to read the lengthy dictionary definition of narcissist, which I really liked when I read it. But are we getting into anybody?
I see it on stage every single day.
Yes, but you don't have the words.
By the way, Barbara Rez in this interview on Brian Stelzer's Reliable Sources, that this is the
great
woman
show.
Who was a executive vice president in the Trump Organization. She said on that interview that someone came in once and was reading the 8 traits of a narcissist, and they were all laughing that it was a biography of Donald Trump.
I mean, the man hasn't changed in our next podcast.
Well, let's go to a point of the show where we deliver to you information that you might not know, some quirky facts and
fact.
Yeah, it says quirky. I didn't even see your sheet there. It says quirky fact. Kim, you want to start us off?
Yeah, I've got one. So this is a story that happened in 2018 in India. And it was brought to my attention by a person tweeting under the handle of Adventura Obscura that there was a rat that got into an ATM machine and shredded $18,000 worth of cash.
It sounds like Trump's whole life.
I love it.
So the tweeter, the person in their tweet wrote, rat broke into an ATM, shredded $18,000 and died, thereby creating the single greatest work of satirical performance art this millennium. And there's a great picture to accompany it.
I love it.
Shredded rupees.
So here I am wondering if they shred $18,000 of rupees and it's still there, shredded. You think the Treasury will take it back and replace it?
Oh, my God. By the way, they're shredding documents in the White House tonight, no doubt.
Yes. And the rats are leaving the ship.
Yeah, the rats. There you go.
They brought all those Indian rats in.
The rats are leaving the ATM machines.
Okay, how about – does anybody know what the word avocado comes from?
Not really.
Well, I first thought it was avocado. Like lawyer, abogado, but it's not. When the Aztecs discovered the avocado, which they did in 500 BC, they named it ahuacado, which translates to – testicle.
I knew it. I knew there would be some, it would be near some appendage.
I'm blushing over here.
It's likely that the texture, shape, and size of the fruit as well, it grows in pairs, inspired the name of the avocado.
You guys cannot stay away.
I can't. No, you can, and he can.
By the way, I lived in Tennessee for 10 years. I went to the University of Tennessee and then worked at an ad agency in Nashville. After I graduated, and they eat Rocky Mountain oysters in the South. You know what they are?
I do.
You know what they are?
Mm-hmm.
What always amazed me in one of my lines was they sell them in packages of 3. I didn't quite understand that.
I love it.
By the way, speaking of pears, I don't know, you and I must be on some wavelength tonight because I'm going to talk about the number 2 very quickly. There's only one state, there are 12 Federal Reserve banks. Only one state got 2 of them. It's the state of Missouri. They have Fed banks in St. Louis and Kansas City. The reason – I love to look at history and political reasons for this. In 1913, when President Woodrow Wilson wanted the Federal Reserve Act to be passed, it was the committee was deadlocked. And Missouri Senator James Reed broke the tie. He was against the Federal Reserve Act, switched to be for it. What did he get? Because he was a good negotiator, not like Trump. his state got two Federal Reserve banks. Oregon, people, another two. You would probably, I think most Oregonians know this. This Oregon has the only state flag that's two-sided. The only one. On the obverse is the state seal. On the reverse is the beaver. We're the only state that has a different design on the front and back of the flag.
I right thought maybe New Jersey also had that.
No.
Okay.
They have mafia kingpins on both sides. No. New Jersey is not the state. It's only Oregon. The obverse and reverse.
Any more twos?
Yes, I got one more. There are two national capitals that are named for a U.S. president. Washington, D.C., and you know the other?
Washington, D.C.
Lincoln, Nebraska.
International capitals. Got it. Yeah. Monrovia, Liberia.
Liberia
was named for James Monroe, who supported the colonization of Liberia with freed African slaves. But by the way, which is not a popular. In fact, it was vehemently the African American leaders at the time, the abolitionists as well, Frederick Douglass, Sojourner Truth, were very much against this American colonialization society that started in 1816. But they named it Monrovia for James Monroe.
Speaking of twos, can anybody give me the name for a two-sided figure?
A two-sided figure?
Well, you're all going to have to go home and Google it because I'm not going to tell you what it is.
A two-sided figure? A two-sided figure?
That's correct.
Okay. I would think that you would need multiple sides.
It's in Wikipedia.
Okay, a two-sided figure. By the way, I'm going to go look that up now. I love that you raise questions. Hey, how about a shout-out to Rihanna? She not only told Vogue magazine that she turned down a chance to appear at the Super Bowl last year to be in solidarity with Colin Kaepernick. She also said that Donald Trump is, quote, the most mentally ill human in America, unquote. So good for Rihanna. All right. Thanks for joining us on the Wolfpack. And Dylan Hyde's not with us. He'll be back next week doing his single father duties. Paul Block, always a pleasure. Kim Upham, always a pleasure. And Patrick Zahn, thank you so much for producing our show. We come to you from the Steel Door and Lane Galleries in the beautiful Northwest section, the Alphabet section of Portland, Oregon.
Music by Brian Sussman.
Yes, music by Brian Sussman. WolfpackPDX.com is our website. Please share our show if you like it. We'll see you next week.